Parak Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Ru'u Bezdin v'chol Yisrael. What happens if Bezdin, the court, and all of Klal Yisrael, everyone, sees the new moon coming up for the new month? Right? And now it comes out that the Hadavar Mefursim L'Kol, everybody knows about it, that Shiyom Shloshim, the 30th day, is going to be Rosh Chodesh. And then the previous month would be a month of 29 days. Or Nechgru Edim. You interrogated the Edim, right? Not that Bezin didn't see the new moon. Klal Yisrael did not see the new moon. Rather, Edim came like standard protocol. They were interrogated, and they saw the 30th day would be Rosh Chodesh, and the prior month would be a month of 29 days. But then, V'lo Hispiku, Bezin did not have enough time, Lomar, to say Mikudash, to say that the 30th day should be holy. Ad Shichashicha, until it got dark. Now it's the 31st day. So what happens? The Mishnah says, Hareze Me'ubar. The previous month is no longer going to be a month of 29 days, with the 30th day being Rosh Chodesh, but rather the previous month will be a month of 30 days, with the 31st day being Rosh Chodesh. And the reason is because the Beis Din has to say Mekudash, that the day is holy, while it's still day, not while it's night. And if it turns night, even if the Edom were interrogated, and even if the Bezin themselves saw the new moon, or all of Klai saw, everybody, everyone knew they saw the new moon. They knew that Rosh Chodesh would be on the 30th day, and the prior month would be a month of 29 days. Nevertheless, the halacha is they have to say Mikudash, they have to sanctify the month by saying Mikudash, and everybody responds Mikudash, Mikudash. They have to do that while it's still day. And if for whatever reason they couldn't do it, and the nightfall came along, the opportunity is lost, and now the month becomes a 30-day month, and then the 31st is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, next. Ru'u Bezdin Belvad. What happens if only Bezdin saw the new moon come up, and Edom did not see it? And the Gemara explains that Bezdin saw the new moon, Belel Shloshim, on the night of the 30th. They didn't have time to sanctify it, okay? Why? Because you're not mekadesh the new moon at night, right? You can't ain mekadesh the chodesh b'layla. You have to say mekudash by day. We just learned the actual kiddush, the mekudash, has to be done by day. So they saw the new moon at night on the night of the 30th, right? And then they couldn't sanctify it then because it was still nighttime. So what happens? Yamdu shnayim. Two people get up, meaning the next day, while it's a day, so now it's the day of the 30th. The Jewish day starts the night before. So night of the 30th, they saw the new moon, the Bezin themselves. The next day, on the day of the 30th, two people from the Bezin get up, and Yam Bishnaim Mitoch Bezin Shiroz HaYarech, two people from the court that saw the new moon, they get up, via Idu Bifneim, and they testify in front of all the other friends on the court, on Bezin, in order to sanctify the new month, like the normal way. V'yomar mikudash mikudash, and they say it's mikudash mikudash, that it should be holy. Kalema shenhigu, they follow the normal seder, hadvarim, the normal order. Shirosh Bezin, the head of the Bezin, says mikudash, and then everyone responds mikudash mikudash. And that would work. So, you know, since there was no Edom here and no one came, but the actual Bezin saw it, so then the next day, because we don't sanctify the new month at night, the next day, two people from the Bezin get up, they testify to their friends, and they follow the same protocol, and they sanctify the month. However, they bring down over here the Imru Bezin, if Bezin saw the new moon on the Yom Esim Vitesh, on the 29th day, okay, before it got dark, Ein Sarech, so then if that's the case, this is interesting, if the Bezin saw, Bezin themselves, if they saw themselves the new moon, not on the 30th night, but on the night of the 30th, but Biyom Esrim V'Tesha on the 29th day before it got dark. So then you don't have to have two people get up and testify in front of everybody else. El Al Yisod V'Yasim Omrim, just from the mere fact that they saw it, they could say Mekudesh, it's holy, which means that the 30th day would be Rosh Chodesh, and the month is a month of 29 days. And that's it. They don't have to give a testimony. They can just say Mekudesh and they're done. And the Gemara explains that Shmiya can be better than Re'iya. Hearing can be better than seeing. Meaning, if Bezin is able to sanctify the month by hearing it from other witnesses, right? All the more so, they should be able to sanctify the new month if they see it with their own eyes, right? And Rashi explains that when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new month, so the Torah doesn't even use the word of Eidus, of testimony. It says Ra'ah. The pasuk in the Torah is Ra'ah, to see. So we could use just their vision, just their seeing, without their testimony to sanctify the new month. Okay? But that's all that happened during the day. Avamlo speak of Bezin, if Bezin did not have enough time to say Mekudesh until it got dark, right? So that when they came to sanctify the new month the next day, so then Tzarech Shiyamdu, then the two of them have to get up and testify like normal in front of everybody else, like we learned earlier. So it's only, and even though they saw it yesterday, the only time it'll work that they can depend on their own sight is the same day. But once it happens the next day, now it's really a testimony. You lost that, you know, exact moment. If they see the exact moment, then they can just say Mekudesh and they're done. If a day passes by, so now their Re'iyah, their seeing, turns into a testimony, then they have to follow the standard protocol to testify in front of their friends and sanctify the new month. Next case, Re'u Shlosh Vehein Beis Din. If three people saw the new moon, and they themselves are the Beis Din. It's three people from the Sanhedrin, and they are musmach, they have smicha, they're like the same level as the Beis Din. Okay? They saw the new moon on the night of the 30th, and they weren't able to sanctify it then because it's nighttime, right? So what happens? Yamdu, the next day, two of them should get up. Yamdu Ashnaim, two from the three get up. V'yoshivu mechavriyam etzla yachid. And then you go ahead and get, you know, some more people from the Beis Din to join this one individual that's left from the Sanhedrin. Because there were three members of the Sanhedrin that saw it. When two get up to testify the next day, you have one left. So get some more friends from the Sanhedrin to join this one guy. V'yid b'fneim, then have these two testify in front of the new three. V'yamu mekudesh mekudesh, and they'll sanctify the new month with the mekudesh process. She'ena yachad ne'eman al-yadei atzmo. Because you can't, if you just had three people from the Sanhedrin that saw it, and two get up to testify the next day, and you're left with one, person cannot serve as a judge. Right? Even if he is the greatest expert like Moshe Rabbeinu. We learn from the pasuk that it says that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. What's Moshe and Aaron? So you see that the Beis Din is at least two. And now we know that Beis Din can never be equal. Can't have an equal courthouse. So you always add another one. So it's a minimum of three. So we see from here, even if you're on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to have at least three people in your court. So if the whole court was comprised of three people and two of them saw it with one left, right? So then the next day you'll have to get another two people to join this one remainder to create a new court of three, and then these two can testify in front of the three to sanctify the new month. And that's it. That's the first mission over here. The Mefarshim bring down a lot of explanations, but we're just going through it, you know, in the simple format. And this Mishnah really finishes up now all the discussions of renewing the new month. Now, from Mishnah Beis until the end of the Masechta, we'll be discussing a totally new topic. We'll be going through the different types of shofars that are permitted and kosher to use on Rosh Hashanah. So here we go, Mishnah Beis. Kol hashofaras kasherin. All shofars are kosher to use as a tekiah to blow on Rosh Hashanah. Whether a shofar of a ram, or a ram shofar is bent, right? It's like a semicircle almost. Whether it's the shofar of a ya'al is a type of wild goat that is found in the rocks by Ein Gedi and the mountains near Yam HaMelach, near the Dead Sea, and that horn is straight, but it's not bent. So these are all kosher, chutz mishel parah, except for the horn from an ox or a cow. Because those are called karens, they're horns, but we don't call them a shofar. It doesn't have the name of a shofar. And Rosh Hashanah, we can only use a shofar. We learn it out Rosh Hashanah from Yom Kippur. We learn it from a pasuk that says shofar teruah. So it has to be an actual shofar, not something which is a karen, just a horn. So of course the obvious question, Amar Rabbi Yosi, says to the chachamim, to the rabbis, but kol shofaros nikru karen. All shofars are a karen. A horn's a horn. Shinamar, as the pasuk says, says v'hayy b'mshoch b'karen hayovel. B'shema'achem is called hashofar. So you see, the word shofar and karen is in the same pasuk. It's the same thing. So, like, what do you mean? So, therefore, mikan shagam shofar shel ayel nikar karen. Any kind of shofar is called a karen, even that of a ram. Why should the ram's horn be different than an ox's horn, right? So he doesn't understand this, and the Gemara explains that the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Yossi that correct. All shofars are called a karen, a horn, and they're called a shofar. I'm sorry. All shofars can be called a shofar or a karen, right? A horn or a horn, different types of Hebrew words for a horn. But the horn of an ox or of a cow is only called a karen, and we don't find that it's called an actual shofar. Therefore, we can't use a shofar from a para, from an ox, or from a cow. That's the reason. And they also explain over here that the para, the cow, represents the para, the egel hazav, the golden calf, where the Jews sinned, right? And you can take the horn from the, it says, ein kateger na'asas neger, meaning the thing that is creating the judgment that the Jews sinned with the golden calf. You can't take that and let it serve as the protector to save the Jews. That's what they sinned with, right? So you have to use something else. Therefore, use the horn of a ram. The horn of a ram wasn't used for the golden calf, for the Egel Azav. And that could serve as a protector, as like, you know, our lawyer to daven to Hashem that we should be saved from the sin that we did with the golden calf. That's another reason why we won't use the horn of a cow, and we'll use the horn of a isle of a ram or something similar. So that's it for Mishnah Beis, and we'll hold it here for today.